Chapter 37.
On a distant rooftop, stretched out under a canopy of flexiplast, matching the roof's protective surface, Rand stared through his scope at the four oncoming Pop Dog personnel transport speeders. They were inbound from the south and had rounded the eastern slope of Blackcrest Mountain moments before. Mostly, Rand stared at their undersides. The speeders were well up in the air, exposing the repulsors and thrusters lining their bellies. He zeroed in on the lead vehicle's main repulsor lift unit, kept his aim on it, and fired. His laser shot hit the unit, pierced it. He saw surprise on the distant face of the pilot. The speeder continued forward, its flight speed undiminished, but it nosed over into a too rapid descent.
Come, gun, one down.
He switched his aim to the second speeder. Thames's voice whispered from his earpiece.
Gun, calm, I read.
The other three trooper carriers went evasive, banking and losing altitude, their pilots hoping to take cover between intervening buildings. The maneuvers were sharp, catching some of the Pop Dogs off guard. Rand saw three spill over the side of his new target. He fired. A black hole appeared in the side armor, shielding the motivators of his new target. He fired twice more, creating two more holes before his laser rifle whined at him to indicate it was recharging. His second target continued its controlled descent as if undamaged. Troopers in the bed opened fire on Rand's position, on the entire top floor of the building beneath him, in fact. But then the starboard side of the speeder, the side he'd perforated, dipped as though the repulsor lifts there had failed. The vehicle went from horizontal to vertical in an instant, pitching everyone but the strapped-in pilot free. Then it went upside down as it dipped beneath the buildings two streets over. Rand heard a crash from the vicinity of his first target, followed by the sound of metal crumpling from the direction of his second. He looked around. No other transport speeders were in sight. They'd gone below cover.
Come, gun. Two got by me.
Understood. Team Shellfish, you're up. Gun, they may be gunning for you. Get clear.
I hear that.
The third transport rose like a submersible vessel, cresting the ocean's surface as it came over the lip of Rand's building. Even before it leveled off into horizontal flight, the vengeful Pop Dogs in the back began pouring blaster fire into the canopy erected at the far edge. The canopy jittered and rattled as it was burned into a crisp black ruin. The transport came to a stop a few meters away. Two Pop Dogs leapt off, landing in a crouch on the roof, and ran up to the canopy. One covered it, while the other yanked it clear. The others took aim, but there was nothing beneath. Their own engines kept them from hearing, from reacting in time, as two speeder bikes crested the same roof edge they had just crossed. The two speeder bikes flashed by overhead, piloted by a blonde human woman and a cream-brown Wookiee female. Each of them dropped something as she passed overhead, a globe that fell into the speeder's passenger bed. Veteran Pop Dogs dived away. Others, quicker to act than to think, aimed after the speeder bikes. One got off a first shot that missed the blonde woman by a dozen meters. Then the globes detonated, filling the air with unhealthy-looking yellow gas. It spread across the roof, coating the Pop Dogs all around. Rugged men and women who'd been trained to kill began coughing and clutching their eyes. 200 meters away, the distance increasing, the blonde woman spoke into her headset mic.
Ranger to Khan. Third speeder down. Location of fourth unknown.
I read.
Tell Drug Boy could work.
There was no weapon in Thal's pocket. He groped for it, startled for a moment. It couldn't be gone. In the minutes since the last time he'd felt it, he performed no physical activity that could have dislodged it. And no one had been close enough to him to...
That protocol droid...
He ran. He slammed Colonel Sorrel out of incoming Pop Dog transports.
They were gone.
No, one was still incoming. Almost at ground level, it rounded a street corner and headed his way. There was a familiar poop sound from the interior of a black speeder parked nearby. Thal could only watch as the grenade, fired from a military-issued blaster rifle, arced toward the transport speeder, hit the pavement in front of it, and exploded into an immense yellow cloud. Unable to maneuver in time, the transport flew through it, It emerged with its surfaces and passengers all tinged yellow. The passengers began curling into balls, clutching their eyes, heaving. Thal watched as, its pilot, temporarily blind, the speeder sailed past him, heading in a curved, erratic course toward the starfighters in front of the courthouse. Footsteps behind him, shouts to stop. Thal turned toward the nearest vehicle, a red speeder bike with a human salesman standing protectively nearby. Thal hit the alarmed-looking man, knocking him out of the way, and started up the swoop. It roared into life, its two powerful engines perfect for testosterone-addled boys and middle-aged men. Then Thal felt the sting in his neck. He ignored it and revved the thrusters. Tried to, anyway. His hands stayed clutched, unmoving on the control bars. His feet would not budge from the pedals. The speeder bike rose a meter into the air and began a slow, slow drift forward, pushed along only by a light breeze. Colonel Sorrel drew alongside, pacing him at a slow walking speed.
Pending a full investigation into these events.
The crude scrape droid pulled up to Thal's right, opposite her.
You will find his tan skin is makeup. Beneath he's a more yellow color. The lenses he wears on his eyes match Thal's retinal prints, but his true eyes do not. Textured false skin on his hands and feet bears Thal's prints, but Thadley Byolin's prints lie beneath.
Ton Fainin shook his head.
I don't know how long Staven Thal has been dead, but it's clear this man killed him long, long ago.
Then the image of Ton Fainin winked out. Trey, in the front seat of the black speeder, set his blaster rifle aside.
Nice shot.
Dracal put his dart rifle away.
I thought so.
No, I meant me.
Trey started up the speeder and headed away from the plaza.
But you get points for brewing up a good tear gas. Thank you for your unstinting praise. Tear gas that I fired, with consummate accuracy. You're ruining it for me.
In minutes, it was done. Civilians crowded around the drifting speeder bike an MP held in place. Others waited for the inert, improvised scape droid to start talking again. More MPs and Kura city guards arrived and argued with one another about who should be arresting whom. General Thal remained sitting, paralyzed on the swoop he'd intended to ride to freedom. Colonel Sorrel took a dampened rag to his cheek, wiping away tan makeup to reveal yellower skin beneath. Zarin Thal stayed nearby, answering investigator questions, wearing an expression of intermixed anxiety and disinterest. Two blocks away, Vort, wrapped in a traveler's cloak, boarded the delivery speeder. Thames looked up and smiled as he entered.
We're extracting?
We're extracting.
Stage boy, it's curtain call.
The black curtain was swept away. Ton Fainin stood on the other side, in the black-lined rear of the compartment, and stared imperiously at the other two. Then he pulled his face off, revealing Terman's features beneath.
I need a bath.
You do, in fact.
Thames set a comm preset.
Cowboy to all boys and girls, we are extracting. Don't talk to strangers on your way back. Don't accept candy.
A narrow viewport into the front compartment slid open. Char peered back through it.
Say, leader, what happened to your clothes?
Shut up.
Vort took a seat back in the black-lined mini-studio Terman had been using.
You lost them again?
Leader to mind boy, shut up. You know I took them off dancing.
So you stole your own clothes this time?
Vort sighed.
Yes. And I'll get myself back someday.
Scut, Mulis, and the gold protocol droid boarded. Scut and Mulis took seats. The droid pulled her faceplate away, revealing the features of Miri.
It's impossible to sit down in this thing.
Terman gave her a look that included no sympathy.
Lean against the back panel. Don't fall down when we decelerate.
Miri reached into her black courier's pouch and pulled out a small blaster pistol.
Anyone for a souvenir? The last blaster General Thal will ever own.
Thames looked interested.
What do you want for it?
An X-Wing.
Forget it.
We'll get you out of that.
Scut rose and began disassembling Miri's exterior plates. Mulis gave Vort a pleading look.
Now, can you help me understand what just happened?
Vort nodded.
I was confused for a long time. I didn't understand why Thal didn't break and run to begin his transformation process. It clearly would take weeks or months, a time frame in which he'd be vulnerable to capture and discovery. Then I realized he already had. Months ago, he'd been wearing makeup and traditional appliances to fool security measures, while underneath, he already was Thadley Biolin.
Mulis' eyes lit up.
Ah, so at any point, he could take off his disguise and it would be impossible to prove he was the traitorous General Thal.
So we brought him here and gave him reasons to stay Thal. Greed for your gems, then a need for revenge against Tarn Faden. On and on, until we had everything set up and he couldn't get away.
The vehicle rocked a little, then Ran appeared in the front viewport beside Char.
Leader, what happened to your clothes?
Vort reached forward and slid the viewport closed. Char slid it open again.
The other speeder and the speeder bikes are here.
Vort leaned back, interlacing his fingers behind his head.
Wraiths, let's fly.
Then he looked skyward, though he had no idea whether Vandor 3 was in the direction of his stare.
All right, Bindi. Now we've won.